All right. Amen. I enjoyed that.
Amen.
That's exciting. And brother, I think if I were you, I would have on my prayer card, the Great Walls of China. That would be my, maybe I'd start a blog or something like that. That was good, though. You never heard anything like that, have you? I'm sure you haven't. Open your Bibles, if you will, the book of Galatians for me this evening, just for a few moments. And preacher called me and wanted to know if I would bring a short message this evening. And I told him I could do that. I'm excited to be here. What I'd like for you to take away from this evening is a couple of things. Number one, you're entering the time of year where you're about to have your missions emphasis time. This is when you're going to focus on world evangelism and what your missionaries are doing all over the world. And I want you to understand something before your conference begins, and that is that your missionaries are having success. Even when confronted with obstacles and difficulties and all the problems that they're having, we're still reaching people for Christ. Even when a government kicks a missionary out, they're still finding a way to reach other people that are in great need. And I would tell you that I would rather be on our side than any side. Christianity is growing much faster than any other religion. And you don't need to be afraid. You know, I watch the news. It'll make you afraid, preacher. You watch the news, it'll make you afraid. I'm thinking the world's going to end tomorrow. Well, if the Lord comes back, we're not going to be here anyway. Amen. But I want you to understand that. In the 20 years that I have been in full-time ministry supported by churches between Mexico and Southeast Asia, we have seen over 20,000 people come to Christ. Now, Islam hasn't seen 20,000 Christians in one ministry convert to Islam in the same amount of time. They're not seeing the success that we're seeing. Listen, church, we're winning because we're doing what God's word says, and God is powerful, and we're doing what he wants us to do, and we're working with our local churches, and through prayer, you are supporting us. Missionaries, we're going, we're doing the job, and we're succeeding. We're seeing a lot of people reached with the gospel. We're seeing churches planted. We're seeing lives changed all over the world. God is blessing. He's giving success. We're not losing. We are winning. It's not time to run away. It's time to charge into battle. We have the enemy on the run, so to speak, and missions works. Missions is godly. Missions is biblical. And this church is right in the middle of where it needs to be. And so I just want to encourage you that in that a little bit this evening. Well, if you found your place to the book of Galatians, something along these same lines I want to share with you just briefly. The Apostle Paul says this in Galatians chapter number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Boy, he cleared that up right in the beginning, didn't he? He said, God called me to do what I'm doing. And you know us missionaries, God has called us to do what we're doing. And it is the local church's responsibility to prayerfully consider which missionaries they're going to partner with in reaching the lost world for Christ. But it is God who has called us. There wasn't no organization or committee that called Brother John Walls into doing what he's doing. It was the Lord who burdened him and led him into doing the things that he is doing. And it is God that has called the rest of us missionaries. I wanted to go on. Verse number 2, it says, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia. Just want you to note that it says churches, more than one. Verse number 3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according, the Bible says, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And this verse number 4 is critical. It's a pivotal verse to the whole book of Galatians. It says here that Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Nobody murdered Jesus. Nobody took his life. The enemy didn't win that day. Jesus did what he came to do, which was to offer himself as a sacrifice. Why? Well, verse number 4 says right there, for our sins. You see, the whole world understands that sin is a problem, but God and his word have the only true solution to the problem of sin. And it is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Now, I work with Muslim people. The people that I work with in Southeast Asia are Muslims. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to reach Muslims in the country of Thailand, to partner with those reaching them in Pakistan and in India. Muslims are converting to Christ. It is estimated that 10,000 Muslims per day are converting to Christ in the world. You know what people are converting to Islam in the world? The ones who are born into Islam, right? The ones who marry into Islam, and a very small fraction of individuals in the prison system of the United States of America. That's it. That's it. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I'm a Buddhist, I think I'd like to be a Muslim because I like living in bondage and being abused and taken advantage of. And nobody does that. You know what people want? They want freedom. They want liberty. And you know what Jesus said? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you, what does it say? Free. Free. Freedom is what Christianity, true Christianity, offers a lost and dying world. True freedom. Amen. Freedom from bondage. The bondage of sin. And Jesus came to set us free from sin. It says in verse number 4 that he might deliver us from this present. What word is the next word there? Evil. We live in an evil world. We live in a terrible, wicked place. But that does not mean that we are doomed to live in fear. We do not live in fear. We live in victory because of who we are following, because of who our King is. We don't have to be afraid. You know, I work with Muslims, and I don't know how the Lord's going to take me out of this world, but I'll tell you something. I would rather leave this world witnessing to somebody in a dark place in this dark, evil world than to leave this world going down Highway 29 to Charlottesville to eat at the steakhouse. Because people die all the time, right? Death is a reality. I would rather die on the battlefield than to die in a hospital. Well, that's just me. But I would rather die seeing something happen. I want to be where the action is. I want to be where things are happening. And that's just the DNA that God has put into me, and I bet that's the DNA God has put into you. You want to be where things are happening. You know, over 8,000 people died in the state of Texas because of drunk drivers last year. Are we fearful of drunk drivers? No, we're going to leave this place. We're going to drive home like ain't nobody's business. Not even thinking about it. 3,000 people got killed on 9/11. That's all we can think about for 15 years. I'll tell you who the terrorist is. Alcohol is the terrorist. What you need to be afraid of is sin coming in and taking over your family. That's what you need to be afraid of. Listen, there's bad people all over the world. You know what's going to make them good people? Jesus. Amen. Jesus. You know, talking about Muslims, you know where they got their holy book, the Quran? They believe that Muhammad went into a cave and he was praying, and that an angel came before him and said, thus saith the Lord, and began to dictate the Quran to him. Now you say, well, is that what happened or what? I don't know, but I'll tell you what I do know. I do know that the Quran is not what the Bible says. And what the Apostle Paul goes on and he says here in verse number 6, he says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, that is God, who had called him into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, we always have those around. You know, we always have somebody around and in our sphere of influence that's just ready to pervert the gospel of Christ. What does that mean, to pervert the gospel of Christ? That means to deny what Christ did. To deny either that he came, to deny either that he died on the cross, like Muslims don't believe he died on the cross, to deny that he was buried and that he rose again. To deny any part of the gospel is to pervert the gospel. To change it in any way is to pervert the gospel. But Paul says there's only one gospel. He says there's only one gospel, and it's the gospel that I delivered unto you, that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died, was buried, that he rose again, that Jesus Christ is deity, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he came to pay for our sins. If you're here this evening and you're not saved, you need to understand the true gospel, and the only thing that is going to set you free is to understand and tie. Brother, you read John 3:16 in Chinese. In Thai, it's Prawa Prachao Song Rak Lok Dang Ni Kudai Pratan Prabut Ong Diao Kong Pra Ong Pur Tuk Konti Wang Janai Pra Ong Nan Jamai Pinat Tami Shiwit Nilan. The word for repentance and salvation is the same word in the Thai language, Klap Chai Mai, which means turn new heart. Turn new heart. Listen, if you're not saved tonight, you can turn and have a new heart. That's what God can do for you. That is the gospel. That is the truth. That is what will set us free. I'm just to the point, I've been in America for 10 months, and I think I've reached my limit of fear-mongering.
I'm tired of hearing how the government's going to take it away or they're going to give it to us. Listen, we are Americans. My most prized earthly possession is the Word of God. The next is my passport. I can go anywhere in the world with my passport. I can even go to China. Brother, maybe you will again someday soon. Don't take me with you. I'll get you thrown in jail. We can go anywhere. God has blessed us. He's been so good to us. And to whom much is given, much is required. But talking about Muslims and talking about this and the new gospel, I want you to take this home with you this evening and I'll be finished. But Paul says here in verse number 7, talking about the gospel, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, he says, or an angel from heaven, that's underlined in my Bible, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So they're living under a curse today because they believe an angel delivered another gospel unto them. Now this happened 700 years after Paul wrote this book. He wrote it from Corinth to the Galatian churches, warning them of what was happening. And that place today is modern day Turkey, 98% Muslim. There was nobody to tell Muhammad, hey Muhammad, and he didn't know that there was no other gospel. He didn't know the gospel. Now this is a long time, 700 years, 200 years after Catholicism began. Here's Muhammad, and I believe an angel did appear unto him, by the way. I think Muhammad was in a cave praying. Muhammad was an uneducated man. Muhammad didn't write the Quran. You get that out of your head right now. He didn't write the Quran. He couldn't. He was uneducated. All right? I think he's telling the truth. I think an angel did appear. And I think an angel did say, thus saith the Lord. But that's not what the Lord was saying. I think he was deceived by a great deceiver. Now you have 2.7 billion people in the world using a book written by the great deceiver. What should we expect to see from these people? Grace, mercy, loving kindness, fruits of the Spirit. Should we expect to see that? Of course not. We should not. So what should we do? Well, our government has a responsibility to keep us safe. Now I'll tell you something. Anybody comes in my house shooting at me, I'm shooting back. All right? Just clear that up right away. I'm going to defend myself. But as a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, all right, I understand that I have a responsibility. Preacher said that's a big word this morning in the sermon. He said that's a big word, and it is. I have a responsibility. I've received the truth, and I have a responsibility to share it with someone else, especially those who have not yet received the truth, those who are living in darkness. We have to do that. Because I'll tell you, the only thing that's going to change them is Jesus. That's the only, it's a spiritual war, but we believe that, right? We know we're under attack by them because of their faith. Is that right? Of course that's right. So what is the solution to that problem? It's a spiritual battle, folks. Let's fight it on a spiritual battlefield. We're having success. We need to put more energy into where we're winning. And where we're winning is with the Word of God. Missionaries are having success across the globe. They are having success. We are reaching people. God is blessing, and I believe God will continue to bless. I've led people to the Lord in several countries. I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel in 10 different countries. I visited 15, and I want to tell you, God is doing great and mighty things all over the world, and this upcoming missions conference is an opportunity for each and every one of you to hear what missionaries, what's on their heart, what their vision is going forward, where they are going to be working, and what they're going to be doing. But I want to leave you with this thought, and I'm finished. The Apostle Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from the gospel. I marvel. I'm amazed. Most people believe it was less than 2 years. 2 years from the time the Apostle Paul plants these churches and does it in a biblically sound way and until they turn into another gospel that's not true. Here's the greatest danger you face. It's not from an outside terrorist attack. The greatest danger we face in our churches in America is our families disintegrating and that leading to the disintegration of our churches from within. It happened in 2 years in Galatia. Now they're 98% Muslim. If you love America, if you love your church, if you love your family, get in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Be faithful to God's house. Be faithful to pray. The enemy is always there. They're always ready to provide a different gospel, another gospel, and to pervert the true gospel. So I want to say to you here in this place, stand firm and understand that we are not losing. We're not on a sinking ship. We are the victors. Why in the world would we leave a position where God is blessing us and giving us the victory to settle for something the world has to offer us? And the world only has lies to offer. Why would we do that? That would be foolish to do that. And I want to just leave you with that this evening. Stay firm. Stand firm. Be steady and follow the Lord. Stay in His Word. Stay in prayer and stay faithful to God's house. And God will bless you. He'll bless you more and more. And we'll be able to partner. You here in this place will be able to continue that partnership all over the world and seeing God do great and mighty things all over the world. It's the most exciting thing in the world to be a missionary. There's nothing more exciting. There is nothing more exciting. I think the only thing next best would be to participate in missions from a local church. But you know, I'm going the other side of the world. So is this missionary here. Other side of the world. Sometimes it's harder to go to the other side of the dinner table. Sometimes it's harder to go to the other side of the street because they know you. Let's reach those people too. Let's not forget about the people in our community. They need Christ. And boy, it's a shame to go off into eternity without Christ from Taiwan or from Thailand or from Pakistan. But to go off into eternity without Christ from this nation, from this country. Let's reach those that are here as well. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads, close our eyes. I just want to have a short time of invitation. I'll turn it over to Pastor. I'm just the missionary. I didn't come in here to straighten anybody out. I just want to be an encouragement to you. Maybe there's something more that you could do in your life to help reach somebody in your circle of influence. Maybe there's somebody that you could help by sharing the truth with them, the light of the gospel. Because there are dark places all over the world, even here in Madison. There are places that need to hear the gospel. Let's reach them as well. Let's reach those people as well. I want to pray and I'll turn the invitation over to Pastor. Lord, I